It's wonderful to have your company on 2MFM Muslim Community Radio. Brace yourselves. Flu season has approached, and with the coughing, fevers and aches comes all the alarmist articles and blog posts on unreliable, misinformative websites questioning the flu vaccine's safety and effectiveness. You've probably already noticed signs at your local pharmacy advertising a flu shot, or emails at work urging you to have your seasonal jab. Newspaper ads, television commercials, and pharmacy marquees are all seemingly pointing us in one direction. Get a flu shot and do it today. But is it worth getting the influenza vaccine? And how likely are you to catch the flu this year anyway? All that and more will be answered next when I speak with the CEO of the Immunisation Coalition, Kim Sampson. Stay tuned and don't go anywhere.
Regarding education, social issues on your station, 92.1 FM. So listen in for appreciation on your Islamic station. Stay tuned to this wonderful station, 92.1 FM.
The winter season brings colder temperatures and the onset of influenza, more commonly known as the flu. Many might think of the flu as a temporary setback and inconvenience that appears during late autumn and winter months. But the reality is that it can be very dangerous. In Australia, influenza causes 18,000 hospitalizations each year and is estimated to cause more deaths than the national road toll. The thing is, a lot of people have mixed feelings about getting vaccinated, and there are plenty of myths about it as well. But what do the experts say? Let's hear it from the CEO of the Immunisation Coalition, Kim Sampson. Nice to have you with us today, Kim.
My pleasure.
Kim, there seems to be a lot of division between people regarding their stance on protecting themselves against the flu by means of what we call the flu shot. Some people believe it's a must, while others just think it's utter rubbish. So, as an advocate of the flu vaccine, why do you believe we should venture to get vaccinated against the flu?
Well, I suppose, firstly, we talk about vaccines and immunisation. We know that that has been a very effective mechanism to improve health in the community. And if we look at the introduction of vaccines over many, many years, we can see that the death rate has fallen dramatically for many different kinds of illnesses. Influenza is a little bit different because the virus mutates regularly, and the virus that circulates in the community varies from year to year. And so it's important to be vaccinated every year. It's important because, as you said in your introduction, that it's responsible for death of more people than the average road toll.
Mm-hmm.
So it is significant. You mentioned the hospitalizations. There are also the number of GP days that are or the visits to GPs, which I think is, you know, around the 300,000 mark. Also, it affects the vulnerable people. So if we look at what's happened already this year in terms of the confirmed cases of influenza, we've seen that in children under four have probably one of the highest areas that where we're seeing the effect of influenza, and of course in the very old. But having said that, this year is interesting in that I was looking at statistics earlier today, and it really is anyone from the age of 30 up to 70 make up the majority of the cases this year.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So it's something that those types of people need to be wary of, especially this year. There are people who are at high risk for developing complications from the flu. Those are the people who are strongly recommended to get the flu shot. Who do they include?
Okay, so the government recognises that there is a selection of people in the community that are particularly vulnerable, and the WHO, in fact, has identified pregnant women as being the number one priority. Mm-hmm. There are other groups. There's the Indigenous population, children from 6 months to 5 years. Now, we say 6 months because the influenza vaccine is not used on children less than 6 months, mm-hmm. whether they're Indigenous or not. So 6 months to less than 5 years, and plus Indigenous Australians that are over 15. The government, in recognising these groups, provides the vaccine for free. So it also includes older adults, 65 and over, and people with other underlying medical conditions, such as severe asthma, lung or heart disease, chronic neurological diseases, so on and so forth.
Okay. And it's interesting because there are people who are more vulnerable to the flu than others. That's why vaccination effectiveness is a community effort, because doing it to not only arm and protect yourself, but also those who are at high risk, like, as you mentioned, pregnant women, because, as we know, the flu can be caught by, you know, merely touching a surface or object that has the flu virus on it, and then, for example, touching your mouth or nose. And sometimes, you know, it could be catching the flu from people infected with the flu virus. So you are also protecting those around you as well, the most vulnerable people, as you mentioned. On the other hand, are there people who shouldn't get the vaccine?
Yes, there are. There are people that who may be, who've had a history of a disease such as Guillain-Barré. Mm-hmm. So it's recommended that that they don't. There are some, because the vaccine is made using eggs, there are some people that may be recommended that they shouldn't have it if they have a severe allergy mm-hmm. to eggs. But really, they've found that now that it's very rare that somebody has an allergy to eggs that is so severe that they can't have the vaccine. But because the vaccine it's a killed virus, so it's not a live virus.
Oh, interesting.
So in that case, really most people are able to have that vaccine.
Okay, so can you give us a rundown on how the flu vaccines actually work?
I'll start with the manufacturing of it. So the virus is grown inside an egg, a chicken egg, mm-hmm. And then it is taken out of there and it is chemically killed, and then chopped up into tiny little pieces. Those little pieces go into the vaccine, and when that's injected into the arm, the body or the immune system recognises the DNA of those pieces. Now it does take about 2 weeks for the body's immune system to really adapt to it. So if you get vaccinated one day, on day one, and then you're exposed to the flu virus, you're not going to be protected. You really need to 10 to 14 days for the body to really build up the immunity from the vaccine. So the body recognises that DNA, and when it, if you are infected by the influenza virus, and And it has to be noted that the vaccine does not prevent you from being infected. What it does do, though, is primes the body's immune system so that when you are infected, or if you are infected, it recognises it and it fights the disease.
Okay. And when's the best time to get your flu vaccine?
Overall, we recommend late April, beginning of May. Mm-hmm. And that's particularly important for older people because as we get older, our immune system becomes less effective. So it's really important for the older generation, you know, those over 65, to have their vaccination, you know, late April, early May, so that when the peak of the season arrives, they are at they have their best defence. But for a pregnant woman, for example, we recommend get vaccinated as soon as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. If you're a healthcare worker and you're working with vulnerable people, you should get vaccinated as soon as possible. So vaccines become available from late March. The government-funded vaccines are usually available from about mid-April. Mm-hmm. So there is a wide window of opportunity for people to be vaccinated, and it's never too late to get vaccinated.
Moving over to the flu shot side effects and what to expect after you've received the shot, can the flu vaccine cause the flu? Is there a chance that you will still get the flu even if you do get the vaccine? That's another question that a lot of people have when it comes to the flu vaccine.
Sure. Look, there's a couple of parts or a couple of answers to that. The first one is that you cannot get influenza from the vaccine because the vaccine does not contain live virus. It is a killed virus. So that's the first thing. You cannot get it from the vaccine itself. However, some people do claim that they or believe that they may have caught the flu from the vaccine because they may have been infected close to the time that they got the vaccine. So as I mentioned earlier, if you're vaccinated on day one and you're exposed within the first few days of that having the vaccination, it's not going to be effective and you will come down with the full symptoms of the flu. Mm. Also, the vaccine does not guarantee that it will stop you from getting symptoms of the flu. What it will do is reduce the severity of those symptoms because there's, as I also mentioned earlier, the vaccine can't prevent you from being infected, mm-hmm. but what it does do is it fights the infection.
Okay.
There are different strains of the flu virus that circulate, and the current vaccine has four of those strains in it. It's called a quadrivalent vaccine. And the different strains of the virus affect us differently in the sense that, for example, you may remember the pandemic that we had in 2009, which is what we call the H1 virus, and that had a fairly significant effect on people that were of, youngish age, young adults, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say, and also pregnant women. And they fit into that age group. Another virus strain that is floating around in the community is the H3 virus, and that is particularly nasty for the older and younger people, and particularly the older. And so if you are infected with that particular strain, the vaccine may appear to be less effective. Because it's because of the nature of that particular strain. So the vaccine, as I say, just to reiterate, doesn't guarantee that you will not get the symptoms. It just means that it will reduce the effect of those symptoms.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, start to wonder, I mean, if the vaccine isn't always effective, why should I be getting it? So they become very discouraged from getting the flu vaccine simply because, you know, they haven't received that clarification that you just gave me and the listeners that it doesn't guarantee effectiveness. So a lot of people have that kind of misconception.
Well, that's true. And look, there's very few vaccines available that provide 100%. And in fact, I'm not sure that any exist that actually provide 100% guarantee. Look, the influenza vaccine is not the best vaccine in the world in that, you know, its overall efficacy or effectiveness, if you like, is somewhere between 50 and 75% probably.
Mm-hmm.
But that depends on your age. So an older person has... you know, their immune system is not functioning well because of their age, then the vaccine, whether it's influenza or any other kind of vaccine, doesn't work as well. But for young people, the vaccine is very effective. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about vaccine effectiveness or efficacy, we're looking at the average across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's sometimes a debate about just how effective is the vaccine. Then the answer is, well, it depends on a number of things, and your age is one of those things.
Absolutely. So why do we need a flu vaccine every single year? Why isn't it like the measles or rubella vaccine where it's one and done? You're protected for years, if not
yes,
life.
Yes, well, it would be wonderful if we could just have one each year. But there are two reasons. Firstly, that because the virus circulate, or the circulating viruses change from year to year. So the WHO has centres set up all over the globe, which is monitoring the kinds of viruses or the type of virus that is circulating at any particular time in any particular part of the world. And they make very good predictions about what is likely to be occurring in our community in the coming months or
yep.
or because it takes from the time that they make a decision to make the vaccine, it takes 5 or 6 months for it to be manufactured. So there's a bit of guesswork involved. So that's one part of it. The other is that the vaccine loses effectiveness over time. So so from the time that you have the vaccine, within 12 months, really it's lost its effectiveness. And that's in part because of the way it's made. It's a killed virus. So all in all, there are two reasons. One, the virus changes year by year, and number two, the effectiveness within our own body wanes over time.
Okay, interesting. There seems to be a lot of misconceptions that scare people away from protecting themselves from a potentially dangerous disease. We mentioned some of those misconceptions and we, you know, rectified those misconceptions to our listeners. But what are some other misconceptions that people have about flu vaccines?
Well, I suppose that, I mean, we've kind of touched on some of these without
yep.
stating them. But one is that it's not important. Well, it is important.
Yep.
One is that it's not a serious disease. Well, it potentially is an extremely serious disease.
Yeah.
It can be a fatal disease. The I guess one of the other things that come up is that it's a disease of only older people,
mm-hmm.
And we know that's not true. It can affect young people, and you can be fit and healthy and still. Suffer from influenza or catch it. And in fact, many people, and particularly children, who have no underlying conditions, have no history of illness, can get the flu and be extremely sick.
Yep.
And in fact, often those that die from flu are those that have no underlying conditions.
Mm.
I guess one of the other myths is that the influenza vaccine causes serious adverse events. Well, no, it doesn't. There was a situation a number of years ago where a small batch of vaccine had a detrimental on children in Western Australia.
Yep.
And that vaccine is no longer available. They found that there was something in the manufacturing process that caused the problem. I mean, it was in a very small number of people, but, you know, tragic nonetheless. But generally speaking, and that was the exception, there have been hundreds of millions of influenza vaccines given around the world, and serious adverse events are very rare.
Yeah, so there are, you know, a number of misconceptions that a lot of people have in our community. How can we counteract those misconceptions, or I guess dispel those misconceptions?
Look, I think all we can do is try to get good information out into the community. I mean, the conversation that we're having is really valuable. It's an opportunity for your listeners to hear the facts about influenza, because there is a lot of myth
yep.
out there. There is a small but powerful group within the community that are opposed to vaccination of any kind, and you know, for very peculiar reasons, and they're unfounded on science. But the overwhelming evidence is that immunisation has been one of the major health breakthroughs for mankind.
Mm-hmm.
That and sanitisation, clean water, in other words.
Yep.
So, look, I think it is just getting the message out there that it is that influenza is a potentially serious disease, and that the best defence against that disease is immunisation or vaccination.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Are the numbers of people getting these vaccinations increasing? Do you think the message is getting through, or is there still some reluctance from some people?
We're seeing that over the years, the number of doses of vaccine that are distributed around the country is increasing. In 2016, there were almost 8 million doses that were distributed. That doesn't guarantee that every one of them went into somebody's arm.
Yep.
But it does mean when we look at the history, it has increased. And if we go back to 1990, I think it was something like there were only 500 doses of vaccine made available in Australia. And we now, the government itself provides something like 4.5 million free vaccine doses for people at risk. So, one of the things that we try to achieve is a thing called herd immunity.
Yep.
And that's where, if you have enough people in the community vaccinated, and you don't need everyone to be vaccinated for this to work, but if you have, let's say, 95 people in a room that mm-hmm. have been vaccinated, it means that if somebody does have the virus, it's going to be really difficult for that virus to spread because it will just there will be enough people in the room who have been vaccinated to prevent it from moving on further.
Okay, beautiful, fantastic. So for those who have never opted to get one and they just decided to get one, where can they usually get it done?
We always recommend that you go to your GP because the GP, it's always an opportunity for your GP to see how you're getting along and, mm-hmm. you know, what your general health is and that kind of thing. So it's always a good thing to see a GP. But look, if that's difficult, there are many pharmacists now that are providing influenza vaccine, mm-hmm. and for some people, that's the most convenient way to do it.
Absolutely. Well, I do hope the information given today gave our listeners the clarification they need in order to make a sound and wise decision for themselves and their family. I'd like to thank you immensely for being with us today and sharing, you know, this wealth of information with myself and the listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nadia. All the best.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, dear listeners. You are tuned in to Community Connect live on 2M FM with Nadia. I do hope that interview gave you a better perspective on the flu shot and helped you, I guess, you know, make a proper decision on whether or not you'd want to go ahead with the flu shot vaccination. Now, what really stood out to me during my conversation with the CEO of the Immunization Coalition, Kim Sampson, is that the flu vaccine isn't 100% effective in preventing the flu, but it drastically reduces your chances. So the conclusion that I got is that although it's not completely effective and guaranteed, it will in some way or another reduce your chances. And to me, that's a whole lot better than being stuck in bed all day with a blocked and runny nose. But, you know, I also don't like the thought of being pinched by a needle. So I guess it's all up to you. I guess I might just give it a pass for this year. So again, a massive thank you to the CEO of the Immunisation Coalition, Kim Sampson, who provided that wealth of information.